I realize that it's for Parshas Vayishlach more than it is Parshas Vayeshev. But I did want to say out the Melchamas Bnei Yaakov, the war of Bnei Yaakov. It really takes us totally off from Vayeshev. But Sefer HaYashar quotes us down, the Seder HaDoros, the Yaakov Uveni, and the Mi'am Loez. They all quote down the exact same Maisar. There are little differences and nuances between them. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be a little shocked. And as one of my Rebbeim, Rebbe Ravel, said, it reads like a comic book. So it reads a little bit stranger than most. But there's a point to it, and that's going to be the Rabbeinu Bachaya all the way to the end. We'll explain what we're talking about at the end. Again, the Sefer Yashar, Seder Adoros, Miyam Loez, and Yaakov Uveni all say the exact same mice. It happens like this. 7 years after Shechem, Yaakov came back and was living in Shechem. This is 7 years after they had gone to Shechem. It's before... It sounds like it was before Yosef was sold. Yishuv, the king of Tapuach, sent to Shvir, the king of Machanaima, Elon, the king of Gash, Lavan, the king of Haron, Susi, the king of Sartan, Paraton, the king of Chaser, and Ehuri, Melech Shiloh, to go fight Yaakov and all the people. A massive army went to, does not say numbers, but they were like the sand of the... Well, obviously not in the sea. I was going to say the sand of the sea, but sand is not in the sea. But the sand on the banks of the sea. A letter was sent ahead of them being Mavaz of an Israel, making fun of an Israel, saying you guys are a bunch of garbage. 10 Shvatim, 112 Avadim, and 115-year-old Yaakov Aminu went out to fight this war against all of them. They started to daven as they saw the army coming up against them. Thunder and lightning and an earthquake, while the sun dimmed and Choshech entered the world, and all of a sudden all the kings got very, very afraid. But they got over the afraid, and Yishuv started running against Yehuda. Yishuv was given the ability to throw two spears backward and forward as he was riding full speed on a horse wearing all armor on his body. So it was almost impossible to fight this guy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that when he threw the arrows, they started going backward and started hitting his own men. Yehuda, when he saw him coming, picked up a rock, and when he was 30 almost away, whipped it at him. The rock was 60 sellas. Whipped it at him and knocked him off the horse to the point where his shield landed 15 amas behind the horse. Yishuv sat on the ground, shocked by such a fall. Yehuda went and killed 42 men coming all the way up to Yishuv. Yishuv flipped himself up. No, of course, come on. Yishuv flipped himself up, drew his sword, and split Yehuda's shield into two. Yehuda then took his sword and cut off his legs and then decapitated him. So it all worked. I think it was one fell swoop. He's able to get them both. Now, nine people surrounded Yehuda as he took off Yishuv's armor. Yehuda threw a rock that decapitated one of the horsemen. His head hit the horse and the body flew to the ground. Again, you're going to hear a lot of things over here that are like Midrash-like, and the fact that it goes into detail about the strangest things. There's Ramazim, I just don't know all of them. His body flew to the ground. Yehuda chased after the other eight people, killed them all. Meanwhile, 15,000 people were being killed by the Shvatim. Levi ran toward Yehuda and he turned to Melech Gash with 14 men, and he killed all 15 of them. Yaakov shot an arrow and killed Melech Shiloh. Three of them just died of Bnei Yaakov, but another 4,000 people were killed from the other way. The remnants of the people started to scatter. Yaakov shot four arrows and killed the four remaining kings, along with 400 people from those four arrows. Okay. Then they came to a city, and four Giburim came out to greet them outside of the city. These four big, strong men. Naphtali ran, because we all know Naphtali is really quick, chopped off two of their heads. The other two started to run away. Naphtali chased after them and killed all four. They were all killed. They broke down the first wall, which seemed to be a fake wall. They came up to a second wall. When it came to that second wall, Yehuda, Shimon, and Levi jumped it and jumped on top of the wall and killed everyone inside the city. Yehuda took the walls down with Dan and Naphtali, who jumped later on, and they killed all the people who were escaping. All the Shvatim came to take the spoils. That was the end of day one. Day two, they went to a city called Sartan that had a 50 amma deep moat that surrounded the entire city. It was 40 amos wide, 40 amos wide, 50 amos deep. And they started to make fun of them. You guys, you can't come into our city. And that. They got really, really upset. When they got really upset, they dived into Hashem and they were able to jump the moat. They landed on the other side. But the gates were iron and there were stones, arrows, tar, everything was being thrown down to them as they were standing outside of the city. They're like, maybe we shouldn't have jumped over them. And there were 400 people on the wall that were throwing it down. But Yehuda roared. He jumped onto the eastern side. Gad and Asher jumped onto the west side. Shimon and Levi on the north side. Reuben and Zvulun on, Reuben and Dan on the south side. Yisachar and Zvulun didn't know how to jump that high, so they stayed down below to open up the door from down in the bottom and started making a fire in order to melt down the door. The people were so shocked, some of them fell down, and they were killed by Naphtali, who was standing around making sure that nobody was going to leave the city. And 200 ran into a massive tower. Yehuda knocked the entire thing down with his arms. He just knocked the whole thing down. The city was entirely killed. Then they went to another city, and they they killed another 300. Shimon and Levi were chased into an ambush. Their shields were destroyed. One guy raised his sword to Levi, who blocked it. Instead of cool move, he blocked it, grabbed the sword from him, and then decapitated him. That's good. That's good. That's a really good one. Some of them. All of a sudden, Shimon, after he stabbed him, whatever, and got rid of him, Shimon yelled. Some of those guys that were surrounding him in the ambush immediately died from the yell of Shimon. Yehuda ran in with Naphtali. Naphtali had grabbed two other shields, knowing that, you know, that Shimon and Levi must be in a lot of trouble, but couldn't beat those 11 guys. So Yaakov Davin shot an arrow and killed three of them. Then Dun took the other two, and the rest of them ran. They went to the caves, and they finished everybody else off who was hiding inside the caves. Day three, they went to a city called Tapuach. The woman kept throwing things down to them. They didn't want to kill all the women, but they kept throwing things down at them, and they were starting to be surrounded and everything. They got really, really upset. They dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they were allowed to kill everyone in the city, including the woman and children. They got rid of every single person in the city. Then they went to Machanaim, and they did the exact same thing. Day four, people hired mercenaries against them so that these mercenaries would be able to fight them. There were people from Yishmael, from Esav, and from Cush. They destroyed them very quickly, and then they rested for the rest of the day. Day five, Anshei Gash came with the Amori and trapped them, so they were surrounded by 30,000 men on each side with 500 arrow shooters on the outer wall. Yehuda yelled a massive roar, and all the people in the front line all died. Every single one of them died. Most of the people fell off the walls, or they died of fright. Still, they couldn't get out, and they started to be mevaza, and they started to make fun of them again, until Yehuda jumped onto the wall for Kino Vakadosh Baruch Hu, because he said, I'm doing this for God, and he fought everyone on top, but then he dropped his sword, which is a problem when you're fighting a bunch of guys on top of a wall after you had just jumped it. Yaakov shot three arrows among the 20 people around there, and he killed 20. Yehuda grabbed the sword of one of those 20 people and started to fight 80 men, all 80 men. Then Arud the Gibor caught him by surprise. Arud the Gibor is this really strong guy. He caught him by surprise. He ran up to Yehuda from behind and he broke it, but Yehuda just put up his shield. He broke the shield in half, but it was such a strong hit that he reverberated off the shield and fell backward and fell up the wall and died. Then Naphtali did the little, you know, sword in the middle of his chest, so he made sure that he didn't get anywhere. Then afterward, Yehuda was really hurt, though, because it was such a strong hit. Dun jumped up to the wall to go help him. Everyone ran to a different wall, and they started to shoot arrows. This is the bad guys. Started running to all the walls and started to shoot arrows, and Yaakov couldn't see them because he was down below. He couldn't do anything. Yisachar and Zvulun finally broke the door of the city down. Naphtali ran to go meet Yehuda and Dun at the second wall. They killed 20,000 men, and their blood ran until the city of Choron. So Beis Choron came to fight, and a midget came up to Reuven, and this midget Reuven looked at him. He's like, what are you going to do, little guy? And this little guy ran up to him and threw Reuven to the ground. He was extremely strong and he didn't see it coming. So Yaakov ran and cut his legs off. And that was good.
So it must be like this dog.
The upper body. This is the weird part. The upper body fell on Zvulun. So you know there's something behind this measure. It's not just push-up shot. Because who cares? But that must be that there's something to this whole thing. Another Gibor came and charged Yaakov, and Shimon quickly cut off his thigh, and Yehuda split him into two. A third Gibor ran and made a swift move to Yehuda's head, but Naphtali picked up a shield, and remember, he was really fast, picked up a shield, ran over, and protected Yehuda to make sure that nothing happened, and the shield broke into two, and the Gibor's, and Naphtali, as he did that, took his sword and tried to break down the Gibor, but his sword broke into two on the Gibor's armor. So Shimon and Levi ran over and sliced them up completely into little tiny pieces. Well, I mean, we're only giving you three examples. They kept working before that. They were working on the arrows and stuff. Anshei Choron then fought them until the night, but the Shvatim don't like fighting at night. So they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, confusion reigned, and they killed each other while the Shvatim went to sleep. That's nice. Day six, they fought at Choron, the last army, until Chatzos Hayom. That ended the war because there was no one left to fight. So they took all the rechush, they took all the money and everything like that, and they returned to Shechem. This war was publicized throughout the world. Anybody who had remained from the other people who had run away completely, those people ran everywhere, and everyone was shocked that 12 people, along with 10 Shvatim, Yosef and Binyamin didn't fight, and 100 Avadim, and Yaakovinu, who was 115 years old, went ahead, and only two Avadim from them were killed. And every single time, they kept being destroyed, and hundreds of thousands of people were destroyed. So most of the kings that were left made peace with Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov, and they decided to pay them taxes. Yaakov returned to them most of the shalal that they had taken, most of the spoils that they had taken. This happened in the year 2223. Rabbeinu Bachaya says it proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkiach HaYoreh, that he takes care of those people who fear him to save them from their enemies and give them Tova Meruba, the great greatest good that you can possibly imagine. As you can see from the story with the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's what the Rabbeinu Bechaya says. The Ramban mentions this Maisa, but it's quoted in full by the Sefer HaYashar again, the Seder HaDoros Miyamalois, and the Alkut Ruveni. Alright guys, that's that. That's the end of that war. What's that measure mean? Guys, I will come to the point where eventually I will be able to get to something. I had something in last week's Parsha as to how it came in, because there's a whole machlokas on whether or not they were allowed to take the shalal from Shechem. And they tied in the whole reason why they had to kill all these people was in order to keep the shalal for it not to be gazelled. But it's a whole lumdish piece. So we're not going to go into that right now. Forget about that. Forget I even said that. Let's go. Yosef spoke Lashon Hara. We know he spoke Lashon Hara. What were the three things that he said?
Give the rice, Irim and Achai, and make in front of the other sons.
What did we call that in the pasuk? He spoke Dibasam Ra'ah, right?
What was the last one?
I know. Making fun of the B'nai Shvachos. In other words, God, Asher, right. Don Naftali. So I know, BK, you hate gematrias. This happens to be an unbelievable gematria. Dibasam Ra. Dibasam Ra. It's gematria 722. Same gematria as Dibas Aver Minachai. Dibasam Ra El is 752. It's the gematria of Begili Arias. The gematria of S Dibasam Ra is 1122. Is the Gamhe Mizalzalim Bimnei Ashvachos. It's pretty darn good. That's where they got it out from, those gematrias right over there. But, however, they also learned it out from the pasuk itself. Roas Achav Batzon, that he was a shepherd. That's where he saw the Aver Minachai. Hu Nar, he was a Nar, not a Nara. That's how he knew about the woman. As B'nai Bilhav, as B'nai Zilpah, he hung out with them. Why did he do this? Why did he do this? And how could he possibly do this? How was he allowed to do this? How could he tell them the dreams? Where was he allowed to do all this? So we know that he's known as the Ben Zakunim. To Yaakov Avinu, Ben Zakunim Hulo. That's what it says in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. It says Ben Zakunim Hulo. The Baal HaTorah says an unbelievable thing. Zakunim is the gematria of Ruz. What is Ruz?
It's like a secret.
Secrets. You know why? Yaakov told them all the secrets beyond the Torah. He taught them everything that he learned from Shev and Aver. However, he did it when the Shvatim were not around. When the Shvatim were not around, Yaakov Avinu would get together with Yosef and he'd make sure that he knew all the crazy secrets behind the Torah that nobody else would get. Ksonis Pasim does not mean that he gave him a shirt. I realize it was a technicolor dream coat, and there he had all the colors of the rainbow, red and blue and green and yellow and purple and etc. Obviously, yes, we all know he had the technicolor dream coat, he's all happy and everything's all good and everything's good.
Darn it.
The Ksonis Pasim was the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Pas Pasim. You guys might recognize that name from Birchas Kohanim, when Art Scroll tells you to gaze at the names, but do not read them out loud. You know what I'm talking about? One of those names. The name is the Chaf Beis Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is known as the Pas Pasim. That's obviously not all the letters, but those are part of the letters of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this refers to. This name is a crazy name that the Shvatim did not know, but Yosef did know. They did not realize how much Yosef was in with Yaakov Avinu, to the point where he was Ben Zakunim. This is an unbelievable thing. The notes of the Baal HaTorah, if you guys can find it, it's an unbelievable sefer. The notes of the Baal HaTorah says Zakunim stands for Zrayim, Kudshim, Noshim, Yeshuos, and Moed. Yeshuos is Nizikin. It's known as that in the Gemara. Nizikin is not a real Messiah. It's not a real Seder. There's no such thing as Seder Nizikin. It's known as Seder Yeshuos. That's how it's quoted down in the Gemara. It was a Yeshua to be able to save them from what they needed. Those five Mesechtas was taught to Yosef by Yaakov Avinu. But there was a sixth Mesechta. What Mesechta am I missing? The other Seder. Taros. Why didn't he teach him Taros? The answer is the Imre Emes says that Taros must be learned by you yourself. You have to learn it yourself. Says the Megali Amukos. Megali Amukos was a crazy Makobel. The times of the Rizal. You know what the Pshat behind Taros is? Awesome. We have no clue how to learn Taros. You have absolutely no clue. You can do any type of magic that you can imagine from Seder Taros. If you learned up the Mishnayos correctly, all it is how to be Tahor from Tumah. But in order to be Tahor, you have to learn about the Tumah first. You have to be involved in Tumah in order to get Taros. Yaakov Avinu was able to get Taros because where was he?
Lavan.
By Lavan. He was able to get the Taros. Yitzchak Avinu was able to get Taros because who did he have living in his household?
Esav
and the wives of Esav who taught him Tumah. He allowed them to be there so that he would learn Tumah in order for him to learn Taros. Avraham Avinu obviously knew because he went down to Mitzrayim in order to learn all the Taros down there. Yosef HaTzadik needed to learn it as well. The Shvatim never learned Taros, or they never came to the point where they really fully understood Taros, to the point where they were able to do everything that the Tumah people were able to do, B'tahara. So Yosef HaTzadik had to go down to Mitzrayim in order to learn all these crazy things. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to think, how am I going to do this? Now, he was a Talmud Mufak of Yaakov Avinu. There is a halacha, when it comes to Lashon Hara, that if your Nemen Olav Kibay Trey, if you are believed as if you are two Adam, that to your, if your Rebbe believes you as if you're two Adam in front of him, that he believes every word you say, and that he can do something about the thing that you're about to tell him, that it's mutter gomer lechachila to tell him this. And Yosef HaTzadik saw what the Shvatim were doing, as we'll explain in a second, and he ran to Yaakov, and he told them, I am Nebenolav Kebet Shrei, I'm your Talmud Mufak, I'm telling you what the Shvatim are doing. The Shvatim didn't believe he was a Talmud Mufak. They never saw that Yosef was with Yaakov Inu late at night. They never saw that Yosef HaTzadik was being taught all these crazy things by Yaakov Inu. They thought, we're all Talmud Mufakim. How could he